We're in the middle of discussing the nature of Golas Adibur, the exile of speech. In order to understand perfected speech, in order to understand tefillah, davening, which is perfected speech, so we've been working on the subject of speech bechlau, in general. We have to work through the three areas of dibur, of speech, of kol, of voice, and of osius, of letters. So we're sort of at the end of the discussion of speaking, and I mentioned last time, 2 weeks ago, that there are three approaches to understanding the subject of the exile of speech that took place in Mitzrayim. As I mentioned, before the Jewish people were to receive the Torah, which is the perfection of speech, which is the perfection of the communication between Shemayim and Aretz, opening up that channel of communication between the higher world and the lower world, which speaking, that's the meaning of speech, speaking. So the perfection is going to take place with Matan Torah, with the giving of the Torah, with the Aseres HaDibros, with the ten Dibros. So in order for anything new and exalted to come into the world, so the earlier order of things has to be destroyed, has to be shattered. So the last moments before the Dibros were to be revealed, those last moments were the moments spent in Mitzrayim and that horrible state of Golas HaDibur, of the exile of speech. In other words, it was almost as if human speech was being eradicated to prepare for a higher new level of communication, which is Torah. Which is where Shemayim speaks to Aretz, where heaven speaks to earth. That's what Torah means. Heaven speaks to earth. So there are three basic approaches to the subject of Golas HaDibur. Last time, we were talking about the alienation from the Ani, from the self. That the reason that Dibur is in exile is because one is not communicating with the deeper self. That's the Golas of the Ani, and we read from Rav Kook together. Ani v'gola, I am in Golas, because of the closing of the heart, the timtum halev, there was a lack of communication because of that closing of the heart. The Shem Yishmul said that words that are spoken that are not coming from the deepest, most sincere place are words that don't have a proper effect upon the listener. So even if a person is speaking, it could be you're saying a lot. I'm sure some of you have felt at times in the house that you're saying a lot, but it really doesn't make much of a difference. That's also Golas HaDibur. The Golas HaDibur, in other words, doesn't mean that you can't speak. There are times that you're saying a lot, but it's not hitting the target. Nothing is happening. People are speaking, but the words are not being absorbed. So this is the first way that we spoke about Golas HaDibur, and Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, is not able to communicate the message. Is not able to communicate the message of Geula, of redemption, to Bnei Yisrael. Now today we're going to talk about the second way of understanding this. The second way of understanding We already learned the Maharal who taught us that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu be'etzem, by definition of whom he was, by his nature, could not speak, was because of the great, exalted, and spiritual nature of his being. That since speaking is the physical act, is the completion of the human form, the human image, we spoke about that with the angel giving a smack on the mouth, that's the completion. When the child is born, he gets that last clap, that's the smack, that's the completion of the human being. Moshe Rabbeinu, who transcended normal human life, could not speak. Therefore, we saw the Chazal say, "Marbe dvar, marbe shtus," that the more a person speaks, generally the more nonsense comes out. Since speaking is the definition of human being, is a speaking being, and speaking by definition is a physical act, so the more one engages, the more one takes things out of his own quiet, private, personal realm and reveals it to the other person, that means the more the person is entering into the realm of physical existence, and the more danger there is that there's going to be shtus, that there's going to be narishkeit. So listen to this. I'm going to read you a sentence now from Rav Kook to understand the second The second way of understanding Golas HaDibur, Rav Kook writes in the Oris, Ha'emes b'kirbeinu chazokahi l'midai, he says, the truth. Rav Kook says, the knowledge of the truth that I have within myself is very powerful. It's so powerful, he says, Aval ashiru hi kol kach v'shotefes aleinu, the feeling of truth, he says, that is within me is so overpowering. It's so wealthy and overpowering. Ad she'einenu musugolum lahasbir b'sof v'brura, to the point that I am incapable of explaining it clearly. In other words, here the point is not that I don't have what to say. I'm not in touch with my deeper feelings. But there's so much inside. There's such depth. There's such an overwhelming feeling that renders me incapable of articulating those deeper feelings. So he says, "Nedaber v'nazbir kamisha koach adibur shlonu yar shlonu b'toch yuseinu on mevinim es hegyonenu u'behemshech hazman yetzeh gam adibur mehagolus hakvedush u'kovush bo." He says, I will do my best, Rav Kook writes, I will do my best, and we all should do our best, to express ourselves to the degree that we're capable of expressing ourselves, to speak about the truths that are rumbling within us to the degree that we're able to. U'behemshech hazman yetzeh gam dibureinu mehagolus hakvedush u'kovush bo. And we hope and we pray that over time, somehow, that over time, our speech will be freed from this deep gullus that it is trapped in, and we'll be able to speak what we really feel. You know, it's possible to go your whole life. Very often people feel this after someone that they love, lo aleinu, after someone passes away. That when someone passes away, all of a sudden you realize that I had a million things that I was waiting to tell you, and I didn't expect you to die. I didn't expect this to happen. I mean, like, you know, there was one philosopher that said that an American writer, I think William Saroyan, you might have heard of him. So I remember he said, he was on an interview on the telephone, it was an hour or two before he died. And he said something to the effect of, I always knew that the end of all things is death. I was just hoping that maybe an exception would be made in my case. So we all think like that, that with the people that we love, we're hoping that an exception will be made, right? But it doesn't seem that until Mashiach comes that exceptions are being made. So what happened, one of the most frustrating things, we shouldn't know from it, is that after someone leaves the world, then all of a sudden you realize that, no, I meant to tell you these things. And I just needed another day or two. I just need another day or two. The truth is we would have gone on for another 120 years not saying. So Rav Kook says that I hope that one day we'll be able to say the things that we have inside of us, to express them properly. That one day we'll be able to utter with complete accuracy those things that we feel within us. So what Rav Kook is explaining here is the second way of understanding Golas HaDibur. Here, the person is in touch with the Ani. There's another way of understanding Golas HaDibur. In other words, I'm in touch with myself. I'm in touch with my feelings. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm thinking. But for whatever reason, I'm having a hard time telling other people. Because the ideas are too deep. The feelings are too overwhelming. There's too much there. I don't know how to express it. And this is between brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and parents and children. I think I don't have to explain it to you. That we go our whole lives without saying the things that we're supposed to say. And we know them. We're very, very much aware of these things. But we don't say them. So that's also Golas HaDibur. Now what's interesting here, and this will bring us to the third and final way of looking at Golas HaDibur. What's interesting here is that Aaron HaKohen seems to be exempt from all of this. Aaron is the one in the midst of all of this silence. Aaron, the brother of Moshe, is Daber Yedaber. That's what it says, right? Daber Yedaber. The Aaron, he will surely speak. No one else is able to communicate except for Aaron. It's interesting. In the midst of all the silence, Moshe Rabbeinu can't speak. the Jewish people are not able to articulate their feelings. That's what we spoke about at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. They're screaming, they're crying, they're sighing, they're yelling, but no one's able to really talk. In the midst of all of this, Aaron is described with these two words, Dabi Yadabi, he can surely speak. So Aaron seems to be exempt from this whole horrible situation of Golas HaDibur. Now how do we understand this? If we understand Golas HaDibur the first way that we spoke about last time, which means that a person is not able to come into contact with that deeper self, if Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, then how is Aaron HaKohen able to? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu's Ani was in Golas. So how come Aaron HaKohen wasn't in that state of exile? And if we say it's because there's such profound feelings and ideas that we don't know how to put them into words, we don't have the kalim to articulate our feelings, this is what we just spoke about a minute ago, Moshe Rabbeinu was very bright. Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very bright. And there's no question that the ideas of Moshe Rabbeinu's ability to think of ways to articulate feelings certainly as developed as anybody in the world. So this brings us to the third understanding of Golas HaDibur. And then we'll answer to try to understand the why is it that Aaron HaKohen was able to communicate. I think this third one is the most frustrating. The third is the most frustrating. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shomu elai." Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, "B'nei Yisrael have not listened to me. They're not listening to me. So eich yishmeini paro. So how can I expect Paro to listen to me? Vani aral svasayim. I have uncircumcised lips. As the B'nei Yisrael are not listening to me, how can I expect Paro to listen to me?" That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. I can't speak. It seems to be, the Pasuk seems to be saying, that the reason that I can't speak is because nobody's listening to me. The reason that I can't speak is because no one's listening. What does that mean? When a person goes over a long period of time feeling that nobody's listening, nobody's really paying attention to you, it reaches a point where you can no longer speak. You stop talking. When people are no longer listening, that's what happens to a lot of it happens in a lot of families. It happens with a lot of children. There was once something to say. They had something to say. And they tried saying. They tried speaking about it. But people were not attentive to what they were saying. People were not listening. The people that were supposed to listen, the people that they expected to be tuned into them, were not. When a person goes for a long time speaking, and the words are falling upon deaf ears, eventually that could cause the speech itself to become dysfunctional. Eventually the person loses a cheshik to speak. You can't speak anymore. Nimas lecha, somebody, you can't talk. I mean, until it reaches a point that you mamish can't speak. I'm not talking about a physical deformity, but ad kedei kach that the person has a shituk, like a paralysis of, and the person just shuts up, is enough. I have nothing to say. The feeling is that when I have something to say, no one listened. And year after year, saying things and no one's paying attention. Or people are saying, "Yes, sweetheart. Yes, darling. Sure, sweetheart. Whatever you like, darling." But no one's really talking. I mean, no one's really listening. No one's really listening. To have a parent, to have a rebbe, to have a friend that's mamish tuned in. That's not just, you know, sweet and nice and friendly, but tuned in. That's listening. Meaning that's listening to you even when you're not speaking. Someone that's listening to you. I think I once told you this. I mean, if I didn't tell you, then you know on your own. There's a famous ma'aseh from Rabbi Moshe Leib Sasser. That there's one of the ma'aseh that came out. Everybody knows this. That Rabbi Moshe Leib Sasser has said that I learned what it means to truly love another Jew from two drunks in a bar, two Russians. That Rabbi Moshe Leib Sasser was once in one of these places, And they were there was a conversation that took place between. He listened to this conversation between two drunks. One says to the other, they're having a drink. One says to the other, he says, Ivan says to Igor, do you really love me? Am I your friend? So he says, of course I love you. And then they have another drink. And he asks him again, no, but do you really love me? He says, well, we're friends for 40 years. I love you. Of course I love you. I'd do anything for you. They have another drink. And then he says, finally, it's not true you don't love me. He says, why do you say that? He says, because if you would really love me, you would know what's hurting me right now. If you would really love me, you would know that something is hurting me. If you don't know that, and I see that you don't know that, so you don't love me. That's what a person, to be tuned into someone means to hear the person, even when the person is not speaking. And if a person lives in a way where the person that he or she loves most is not listening, so then eventually the person stops talking. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bnei Yisrael, hey Bnei Yisrael, lo shomu elai. The Jewish people are not listening to me. So eich yishmeni paro. So certainly paro is not going to hear anything from me. I just am not able to communicate anymore. I've lost my ability, my desire, and my ability to communicate. This is a terrible golus adibur. It's a terrible, terrible golus adibur. When the person no longer wants to open up." No, doesn't want to open up, doesn't want to share feelings, doesn't want to talk anymore. Just becomes silent. So golos adibur. For lack of listeners. So Aaron HaKohen is different. Aaron HaKohen is different. Let's understand a little bit. Aaron HaKohen is already different. Aaron HaKohen is daber yadaber. By him, Aaron HaKohen is talking to everybody. We always imagine him, because of the description in Chazal, that Aaron HaKohen is the one that's going over to everybody to make shalom, right? He's making shalom, he's talking to everybody. Whenever we picture Aaron HaKohen, we think of him sitting down with somebody saying, listen, you and your friend, really, you're not talking to each other, it's a shame because your friend loves you, I spoke to him. Oh, he really loves you, and he just doesn't know how to talk to you. He feels bad about what happened, and he runs to the other one and he says, your friend loves you so much, and he did the same thing with your husbands and wives, right? That's Aaron HaKohen. It's Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is speaking on behalf of all Klal Yisrael. He's going around to everybody saying, this one wants to talk, but he can't talk, so I'll talk. Else, he's not just a spokesman for Moshe Rabbeinu. When it says in the Torah by Aaron, Daba Yadaba, he can surely speak, is that the whole world is completely submerged in silence, and Aaron HaKohen is running around the whole time talking and trying to get people to talk. That's what it is. He said, come on, you guys have to just talk to each other. You have to talk to each other. It's because you didn't speak to each other. You don't know. Really, really, you love each other, so you have to talk to each other. You're not speaking. So mainly, you don't understand how much you love each other. So it seems that Aaron is different from all Bnei Yisrael, even from his amazing brother, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen seems to be the manifestation of speech in the world. The reason for that, it says, you remember that Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit hesitant when he was told to go back and he would meet his brother Aaron when he was sent on his mission. After all, Aaron was the Navi for the Jewish people all the years when they were in Egypt. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit nervous. Chazal tells us he was worried how Aaron would feel, that maybe Aaron would be jealous, maybe Aaron would be hurt. So Hashem reassured Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem told him, "Halon Aaron chicha halevi, yadaiti kidarbi yadabrahu." So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a funny thing. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Aaron, your brother the Levi, I know that he can surely speak." Hashem says, "Ki Aaron achicha halevi, yadaiti kidarbi yadabrahu." Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, your brother Aaron the Levi. What is this? He asked like, how many brothers does Moshe Rabbeinu have? Right? Your brother Aaron HaLevi. Dabi Yadabrahu. He can surely speak. V'gam hine hu yoytze l'krosecho. V'ra'ocha v'somach b'libo. And behold, not only is he not jealous in any way, but he is going to meet you. V'roch, and he, when he will see you, v'somach b'libo. He will rejoice in his heart. That's a chiddush, to rejoice in the heart. A lot of people, like when you walk into an office, hey, how you doing? How was your weekend? I miss you so much. It's great to see you. I was like, you know, everybody's always smiling and nice, you know. But it says in the Torah about Aaron HaKohen v'somach belibo. It's not just these smiles. It's v'somach belibo. Let's look at the pasuk and just read each part of it, each part of the pasuk piece by piece. And you see how Aaron is so different. Hello, Aaron Achicha Halevi. First of all, the word Aharon, the name Aharon. We once spoke about, not in this class, Aharon, the Baal Tanya tells us that Aharon, the same letters as the word Nir'eh, which means to be visible and seen. Aharon are the same letters, Nun Resh Aleph Hey. Aleph Hey Resh Nun, which means to be visible, to be seen. Aharon is right up front. I mean, the master communicator, the lover of all people, no walls, no mechitzes. He is who he is. He doesn't hide. So the name Aaron is the letters nearest. Also, you also have the word there, or and ner, light, candle in his name. It's the same thing. Shining, illuminating, completely open. No darkness. No, there are no mechitzes. So, Aaron also means the Svarim say that Aaron is connected to the word Hirayon, which means pregnancy. Aaron's name is connected to pregnancy. Because when we spoke about the Golus Adibur 2 weeks ago, that the Ani is in Golus, the I is in the state of Golus. So you remember then that I told you the teaching of the Tanya from the Zohar, that Hashem came and told Moshe Rabbeinu that tell them that Eheye, Ekiye, Aleph He Yud He has sent you, right? I am who I am. And the Zohar says that the meaning of that name of Hashem, one of the meanings of that name of Hashem, I am who I am, means, one of the meanings is, I am prepared to be. I want to be. And I mentioned to you that the Tanya taught that all of Golus is compared to a fetus inside the mother's womb that wants to be, that is prepared to become, but is still closed and locked up and can't yet be. Therefore, I said that the Korban Pesach is roasted in the way that look, with the legs connected to the head in the form of a fetus, the sacrifice of Pesach. So, the name Aaron, which means pregnancy, which means to be expectant. So Aaron is completely prepared to be. That's what it means. His name means pregnant. He's completely prepared to be. He wants to be. In other words, whereas everybody else is so far from that ani, from the self, Aaron is not at all. Aaron is like ready to be. So his name means expectant. The name Aharon is connected to Hirayon. Expectant with being, with the self. With any, in other words, he wants to be born. Golos is described as a state of not being able to be born. And Aaron HaKohen is the feeling of Atat. Something is going to be born. That's the name of Aaron, Atat. It's going to be. Therefore, Aaron's name has in it or hey, ner, a hey, because the letter hey is the letter of birth, as we've spoken about on different occasions. The letter hey is the letter of birth. Hey means that something that wasn't is now revealed. That's what it means. Hey, it says in the Torah, hey, Yosef said, hey lachem zera. Hey lachem zera, here. Hey aleph. The word, knows every letter is also a word. So the word in Hebrew, hey, hey aleph, hey lachem means here it is. That's why when you put a hey before a word in Hebrew, it makes it something which you can see. Hashulchan, the table. Here it is. Hashulchan. Hashulchan. Ha adam. Ha adam means the person. Adam means person. Means I don't know when it's going to be. Ha'adam means here is the person. Aharon is the word Hirayon. It's the word ner or hey. Or hey, the light of the letter hey. The ner and the or of hey is in the word Aharon. Nireh. Something which can be seen. Something which is visible. Something which can be articulated and expressed. And it's here. It's here in front of us. It's in front of our eyes. So that's what the pasuk is saying. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, hello, Aaron, this is his nature, this is his quality. In other words, Aaron is not in the world of Golus, Hadibur, in the exile of speech. Achicha. The next word in the pasuk is Achicha, he's your brother. Achicha doesn't just mean he's your brother. Achicha means he is a person that's completely filled with the quality of brotherhood, of brotherliness. That's his nature. Not to hold back. No separations. Achicha. Halevi. Is Hashem calling him Halevi? We all know who he is. What's Halevi? Because the word Levi is the word Levaya, which means attachment, to be connected. This is the one who is connected to others. He's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. He's not shriveled up and hiding within himself. He's Aaron Achicha Halevi. He is the brother. He is the Levi who was the person of attachment of Dveikus. Daber Yedaber. His words are flowing. Dabi Yedaber. Aaron can surely speak. Yodsei L'Kvasocha, he is going out to meet you. Yodsei L'Kvasocha means going to see somebody, going to face somebody. Panim al panim. We've spoken about this many times. Panim al panim means communicating properly. When people are able to tell the truth to each other, able to look in each other's eyes. When people are hiding things, when the ani is in galus, or people are not able to hear because they don't want, if people are not able to speak because the other one hasn't heard, all these other types of all golios hadibur, all types of galus of speech are characterized or are manifested in the inability to face one person to face the other. The inability to face one another. Panim el panim means perfected communication, when people can face each other. That's what it means. Panim el panim means when people can look at each other. So Aaron Achicha Halevi Yotzei Lekrasecha. He's going to face you, to see you, to look at you, to meet you. In other words, here is a person who is seeking an encounter. He's looking for an opportunity to encounter the other. He's completely filled with diburim, with words, and with a desire to encounter the other person, to meet the other person, to look at another person. The ruacha, and he will see you. The somach belibo, and his heart will rejoice. He doesn't hide. He doesn't make believe. He doesn't create the mechitzes between himself and other people. V'racha v'somach b'libo. As a matter of fact, that's why Chazal say that because of this, he would be worthy to wear upon his chest, upon his heart, the Urim V'Tumim, the breastplate that will be illuminated with the holy stones, right? That will shine the will of Hashem. Because here we have a heart that doesn't have any mechitzes. It's a heart without any obstructions. Therefore, upon that heart that has no obstructions, will shine forth the will of Hashem without an obstruction. That's why it's worn upon the heart. Because that heart that shines forth into the world feelings without the obstructions, without Golas Adibur, he is the one through whom Hashem's will, Hashem's words, will be spoken to the world. On his heart that is completely open to others, Hashem will speak to others through his heart. Dabi yadaber. His heart speaks to others. The stones will shine upon his heart. The letters of the names of the tribes will shine upon his heart. will be seen on Aaron HaKohen, nearer. Therefore, when we learn in Chazal that Aaron's nature was to be Ohev Shalom, to be Rodev Shalom, and so on, his nature was to seek Shalom, to go running after peace, and to try to bring people closer. So that's all there is. It's not that he went to some course on Jewish outreach, you understand? That he went to take some education course. Is the Teva, the Mahus, the very definition of Aaron HaKohen, is Hiskashus, communication. Communication, speaking, talking. Therefore, Aaron HaKohen is the remnant, is the last Shirayim, the last leftover piece of Dibur by the Jewish people. And he is frantic to revive it. That's Aaron HaKohen. He's the one who contains within him still the mystery of speech. So these are the three ways of understanding Golus HaDibur, which means we're now ready to understand a little bit, to try to enter into the entire discussion of Kol, which should only take really just a week. The entire discussion of Kol, of sound, of voice, depends upon these couple of words from the Zohar. It says in the Zohar Kodesh, the beginning of Shmos, Kol Ihu Klal, V'dibur Ihu Prat. The translation is, Kol, of voice, Ihu Klal, is the generality, is general. And Dibur, speech, words, ihu prat. That's the particular specific. Kol, sound, voice, is the klal, is the general. Whatever that means, we'll see. And dibur is the prat. Speaking is the prat, is the specific, is the detail. The explanation of this is found in the commentary of Rabbi Avram ben Hagra, the son of the Vilna Gaon, on the Siddur. So Rabbi Avram ben Hagra writes in the Siddur, Yesh hevdel ben dibur l'kol. There's a difference between dibur, speaking, and kol, and the voice. Between speech and sound. Dibur hu lahat'im es kavanaso. Speaking is an attempt to explain, to justify, to rationalize, to make understood your kavana, your intent. That's what speech is for. To justify, to rationalize, to provide a commentary, an insight into what you're thinking, to what you're feeling. What your intention is. That's what dibur is. V'kol who called devarim hayotzi mirotzna odnim below tam. But voice is kol devarim hayotzi mirotzon. Voice, sound, is the general overall expression of will, of desire, that comes forth, that comes out of a human being below time, without any explanation at all. We have to understand this. It's like the shofar, right? That's what the shofar means. It's on a higher level than speaking, there's the blowing of the shofar. So let's understand this. Let's understand the meaning of kol. Kol. There's a concept that a person doesn't know how to cry. Like it says in Tehillim, Shama Hashem kol bichi, Hashem, you hear the sound of my crying. It means I'm not able to cry, but you hear the sound of my crying. So what does the Zohar mean when it says that the kol is the overall klal and dibur is the prat? So we already learned that Dibur, speech, is that connecting point between the Machshava, the thoughts, the Neshama, the soul, which is the ability to think and to reason, and the Nefesh, the body, and the physical functions of this world. So we've been talking all along for the last few weeks that speech, Dibur, is the Ruach, right? The Ruach that stands between the Neshama, Shamayim, heaven, and the Guf, which is Aretz, and the Dibur is in between the two. That's why Dibur, with speaking, there's the most profound level of free choice exists Dafka with speaking, because speaking is, free choice always means making a choice between heaven and earth. That's what free choice means. Either I want to do something that's pleasing to him, or I want to do something that's pleasing to me. Down here below. Either I want to do something for Shemayim, or I want to do something for Aretz. Free choice always means making a choice between heaven and earth. That's what choice means. So Dibur is the Ruach, as we've been learning, that stands between the higher realm of the Neshama and the lower realm of the Guf, of the body. Nefesh, and the body. And what we've just been learning is that there is such a thing, there's a danger, that sometimes Dibur can descend. You remember we spoke about that the Ruach either rises or falls. That's how when a person's breathing, in and out. So there's a danger that Dibur, that speech, can descend into the world of Mitzrayim, of Golus. That's what we've just been talking about. Where there is no connection between within a person between the higher thoughts and his actual life. That's what Golus HaDibur means. That's what we're talking about. That a person might have deep and high thoughts, but he has no way of bringing them out into the world. Or, in the first way that we explain Golus HaDibur, I'm not at all in touch with that Shemayim part of myself. There's a Golus of the Ani. In other words, I have two lives. There's the me that I live from day to day, and then there's the Ani, that deeper self, that very, very rarely, like an Yom Kippur, or God forbid, some tragedy happens, I sometimes see a glimpse of that self. But there's this break between the heaven side of myself, that Ani, the spiritual Ani, and the physical Ani. And that is manifested in this Golus of Dibur that we've been talking about. So what is kol? What's the voice? Without speaking, what's kol? Kufa of Lamed, what does that mean? So kol means that which connects Dibur, speaking. No, this isn't simple. That which connects Dibur, speech, to its shorish. It brings Dibur back to its proper place. It brings speaking back to its proper place. It has the ability. We'll see that the tzaddikim advise that when a person is having a hard time by davening, when a person is not concentrating by davening, tzaddikim advise that a person should scream the davening. Except it doesn't make a difference. If you don't have kavanah when you're saying it, why do you have kavanah when you're screaming it? And this is not meant as to show off to the other person, God forbid. But you're someplace, you want to have kavanah. So the tzaddikim all tells the same thing. That if you're having a problem with kavanah, one of the most powerful ways of increasing kavanah is by screaming. That the kol, the scream, is ma'ayra the kavanah. In other words, it seems to have the power to reattach my words to my thoughts. What does kavanah mean? Intent. Intent means that what I'm saying is what I'm thinking, yeah? That's what kavanah means. If there's no kavanah, I'm saying things and I'm not thinking them. Kavanah means that my words are mikuvanim to my thoughts, that my words are coordinated with my thoughts and my feelings. That's what kavanah means. That what I'm saying is what I'm feeling. What I'm saying is what I'm thinking. It seems that somehow, kol, a scream, a sound, a voice, has the power to attach dibur, words, back to the neshama, back to the realm of thoughts and feelings. That through kol, through sound, somehow there's this awakening, that this arousal that brings the dibur back to its root in machshav in the neshama. It reconnects the person to it reconnects the dibur, the speech, to the neshama, to the machshava, to the thoughts. And this is what the Zohar is telling us. We'll have to continue this mitzvah next time. But this is what the Zohar is telling us. The difference between a sound and words is that the sound does not yet have any limitations or boundaries. A sound does not have... Why is it, they say by the tzaddikim, why is it that a niggun without words is more powerful than a niggun with words? We were brought up mostly here in America, unless you grew up like in a shtibel or something, whatever, but mostly the songs, everything, all the songs had words. It didn't have words, it was a lousy song. What are the words? But the tzaddikim was just the opposite. You all know that the deepest song was the one without words, right? Why is that? Because once you've put words into the song, that means that you've limited the song to those specific words. When all words, as precious as they are, create walls, create dividers, minimize. Now, very often, since we're not feeling anything, at least you hear the words, so maybe it could do something for you. But really, 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 a niggun is the pen of the heart itself. It's an expression of the heart itself, mamish. Because a sound without words is unlimited. It's not restricted to the specific words that somebody else wrote. The Rebbe Shlomo maybe wrote them in Tanakh. They're beautiful words. No one's saying they're not beautiful words. Kol, the Zohar says, is the klal, is a general thing. It's a general feeling. It's a ratzon. It's a scream. It's like a child's yell. It's a shofar. It doesn't have limitations, boundaries, specifications. It hasn't fallen into the gullus of mechitzas, of separations, dividers. It's general. It's without a gvul. It doesn't have to be explained. It doesn't have to be explained. If you're walking, if you get up in the middle of the night and you're going to get maybe a bottle or something, you crack your toe, you know that feeling, you crack your toe against the wall or something, and you scream. So if your husband says, what do you mean exactly by that? What does that mean? What does it mean? I mean, what does it mean? When someone screams, it hurts. It hurts you. If you love the person, it hurts. That's all it is. It doesn't mean. You have to explain what it means, a scream. A krech. A krech also, you don't have to explain. It is what it is. It doesn't have to be explained. If it has to be explained, it's not a scream. A scream is something that's not explained. It's not explainable. It's before... Feelings have this. It transcends that feeling that has descended into articulated speech. It's the sound that comes out from the rotzen. It hurts. I scream. That's why the tzaddikim scream. The tzaddikim are big screamers. You understand by Satmarov, he's always screaming because it hurt him. Like, we're much bigger tzaddikim. So we see Chilul Shabbos, we see all kinds of things, and we don't say anything because we're much nicer, right? We're much nicer than the big kanoim. I'm talking about true kanoim, like the Satmar Rebbe. I'm not talking stuff about people that make trouble. I'm talking about someone like the Satmar Rebbe, Zechut Tzadiv Kodesh Levracha. So we're not like him. He was so extreme. In other words, you and I could watch Chilul Shabbos, so we could watch... When it hurts, you scream. The reason that we don't scream, it's not because we're so wonderful. It's because it doesn't really hurt. It doesn't really hurt. It doesn't touch the deepest place within a person. When it touches the deepest place within you, then you scream. So when the Zohar says that kol sound or voice is a general feeling, or it's a general way of expressing oneself, as opposed to dibur, that's a specific form of expression, so the kol, that means that the voice is an expression of the inwardness of the person, the pnimius adam, the rutzen, the will, the place that comes from the crown that is before it is articulated. It's coming back to that higher will before it's fallen into that, before the gullus of the ani has taken place, before the exile of the self, and before you've lost yourself and built walls and run away from your friends and run away from your loved ones and you're hiding behind all different mechitz. It's the rotzen, it's the pnimius, it's the inwardness, it's the ani mamish. It's the ani. That's why when babies only scream. Because there are no mechitzes by a baby. So they only can scream, because there's only the ani. There's not much going on inside. There's nothing much going on, but whatever it is sincere. Whatever it is sincere. Babies don't lie. Inside a baby? I'm sorry. I mean, I don't disappoint anybody. I'm not something to show me in the higher world, but babies. But everything that they do is sincere. Therefore, all they don't speak. They only scream. They only crack. They only scream. They only cry. They don't speak. On the one hand, that's a certain type of galus also. Because there's no way. It's a rachmanis. The child can't say, listen, I'm hungry, whatever. So the child can't articulate his or her feelings. But the child is completely attached to the world of the ani of feelings. Completely. So the kol means that pure, unobstructed shout of the self, of the rotzen, of the will. This is beautifully expressed in the Medrash. It says in the Medrash, we'll end with this tonight. It says in the Medrash, Kehelos Rabbah, hey, Adam bala olam bekol, v'niftam na olam bekol. It says in the Medrash that a person comes to this world with a scream when he's born, v'niftam na olam bekol, and when the person leaves this world, it's with a scream. And the Gemara says in Yuma, Sholosh kolos holchem yisayf olam atsayfo. There are three sounds that go from one end of the world of the universe to the other. And the one that we're interested in now is kol neshama sheyotze min haguf. One is the sound of the soul when it leaves the body. V'yesh oimrim af leida. And there are those who say the sound of the soul when it enters into the body. In other words, the Gemara says there are three kolot, three sounds that can be heard throughout the universe. The sound, the ones we're interested in, the sound of a neshama entering into this physical world, birth, and the sound of the neshama leaving the physical world, death. That means that the moment of the connection between heaven and earth, birth means the connection of heaven and earth, birth means the connection of the neshama and the guf, right? The way that that's expressed, the way that that happens is with a scream. It's with a scream because the kol means the essential self, the will. And when the soul is separated and freed from the body, it takes place also with a kol. Because it's the detachment between the neshama and the guf, so it's with a scream when that detachment takes place. We can't hear it, but it says it's heard from one end of the universe to the other. So what we see so far, Mitzvah Shem, I don't want to talk about that now. I don't want to talk about that. You can look it up. It's in the Gemara. It's in Yuma. Because it's complicated. You'll see. Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav. So what we've established, I think, so far, again, it's a little bit of a complicated concept, is that the difference between kol and dibur, they're both connected, of course, to speech. There's the sound and the other words. But the difference between the sound and the words is the words already are falling further away from the self until they could fall into Mitzrayim. Whereas the kol, the scream, the sound, the Zohar says is the klal, is the general, overall expression of will. Now, what we're going to talk about in Mitzrayim next time is that although in Mitzrayim there was a golus of dibur, there was something left of the kol, and we're going to finish up next time the discussion of kol, what that is, and then speak about the osios, the letters, and then Mitzrayim tefillah, how it all fits together, how it all works out with tefillah. For that, so to speak words that come from the right place and to hear words that come from the right place.